Good afternoon. Today is Wednesday, June the 5th, 160th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, Humboldt County Supervisor, Mr. Lovelace.
Hey, guy.
How are you doing?
It's sunny. It's blue. I'm not bad.
Not going to complain?
Not loudly. Sympathy wanes. They got a couple buddies who are dealing with all the tornadoes in the Midwest in their neighborhoods.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, you know, we can complain about the fog and this and that, but we don't have the wrath of God that we deal with on an annual basis like that. So,
of all the kinds of natural disasters you can have to face, earthquakes, I'm okay with. You know, they're
here, they're gone.
Yeah, here and they're gone, and you can't. They're so erratic, you can't possibly plan for one. You know,
you can't screw it up.
Yeah,
yeah.
it'll happen when it happens, and that's it. So.
Yeah, the tornadoes, what corner? By that time, I'm in trouble. When you're in the basement, right, you're supposed to get to one corner. I think it's southeast corner because of the rotation and stuff. There's always one corner that's protected. I'd be standing out in the middle going, which one? Which one? Yeah, do my own little Wizard of Oz impersonation. This afternoon, we're going to talk a little bit about the ACV, I guess is the way that we refer to it. But the naming of, or everybody's wanting to put their titles on, the name for that airport that's in McKinleyville. We'll just kind of leave it like that. Also, Mark had an opportunity last week to get down to Sacramento. Were you part of the legislative CSAC stuff that Virginia was?
Yeah, Virginia and I were both down there for.
Good, so we heard before. Now we'll hear about the after, what happened there. And also, I just avoided taking a cheap shot. This is disturbing. Crabs Baseball is back, and we'll spend a little bit of time talking about that with Mark as well when we come back.
And you'll have an opportunity to bring that cheap shot up then.
So. Oh, good. Okay.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggie of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say. It's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank, our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 313. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Mark Lovelace, but before we do, our quote this very afternoon. This is actually not a quote, it's a proverb about proverbs. You know, why don't you read this one? This one's so simple and basic, I can't screw it up, I don't think.
It's an old German proverb says, a country can be judged by the quality of its proverbs.
There we go, redundancy department.
I'm not sure what the quality of that one is, and how you would judge Germany based upon that.
Well, but. Right up there with sauerkraut. Can't go wrong. Kraut dogs, right?
Kraut dogs.
See, now
which
I made
you can
a quick reference.
Park.
Quick, easy reference. So. I'll back out so I don't do anything stupid that will be held against me or could earn me an award. What in the world is going on with the airport? We talk about wanting to make things simple. We talk about user-friendly. We talk about brand. We talk about all these catchphrases and marketing. And then it kind of appears to me like everybody's coming from the right perspective, but everybody wants to have their little bit of a hook on the name. And it looks like a train wreck. What thoughts do you have about the name of the airport?
Well, I trust you're referring to the new name that the board gave to the airport last Tuesday. And
you want to go slow so I can write this one out?
The name that the board voted on for the airport after this long process was California Redwood Coast Humboldt County Airport. And the way that, you know, it's lengthy when you look at it that way, but in reality, people should look at it as effectively two different names for two different purposes.
Yeah, it's like a hyphen in there, right?
Well, it was presented as with a hyphen, but I'm just suggesting, you know, people should just think of it as just two separate names. You know, I don't know anyone that says that I need to go up to the Arcata Eureka Airport when they're talking about going there. They're saying I need to go to the Arcata Eureka Airport or ACV. And so the name is kind of irrelevant in that way to how we refer to it. So the California Redwood Coast, the whole reason for going through this naming process was to see if we can come up with an airport name that folks can come across when they're doing vacation planning. And, you know, it's whatever you change the airport name to isn't going to affect the call letters. It's still going to be ACV. It's not going to affect how it appears on the monitor. It's not going to affect the search terms for when you're planning, when you're saying, okay, I need to fly into Humboldt, and you pick what airport you pick, either the call letters or the nearby city.
But the airport sign's now going to be 3.5 miles long.
That's the airport sign. We're talking about the airport name, not the airport sign. Airport sign is one small.
It's still going to be ACV.
No one ever sees the sign unless they already know where they're going, right? We can do whatever. We could remove the sign entirely, and I don't think it's going to cause us to lose any folks coming in or out. So people need to stop thinking about the sign and think only about the name.
You've had people talk to you about the sign?
Yeah, well, the board was getting into discussions about how it would appear on the sign, and I was suggesting, we're talking about naming the airport. We're not the design committee for coming up with a sign.
I look at it, and I understand. I understand what's going on. Why not just call it Redwood Airport? If that's the big deal, I mean, the county doesn't need to have any hooks on it.
Yeah. Well, this was
California's Redwood Coast as compared to Oklahoma's Redwood Coast.
The way this came about in terms of looking at it, I mean, this was not, for one, it was not my first choice out of them. One that I was looking for was Humboldt Redwood Coast, and just leave it at that. And that was actually the name that had the most members of the public had supported that one, too. But there was some market research of sorts that suggested that when people are planning a vacation, if they don't already know with some level of specificity where they're going, if they're just looking for, they want to go to the Redwoods in California, they may not plan to come to Humboldt, and they may not think about coming this far north if they don't know that there's an airport up here. And so by putting that in a name, someone that's searching at that first stage of trying to look at vacation planning can come across the fact that this is the only airport that's going to come up under those two search terms.
And then they'll pass out as soon as they see what the price is to fly in.
Well, and then when they think about what it'll cost in time to drive up instead.
Yeah.
So,
It's interesting. Well, I guess we teased going into this. I guess we'll tease going out. It's interesting, what I've heard on the street. ... You'll have to stay tuned for the second half of that sentence then. And it won't be nearly as graphic as the other one that I didn't talk about either. Good. It kind of makes sense. It'll make sense. When we come back, KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:19.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. For years, the Eel River was the state's second largest source of steelhead and third largest of salmon. A UC Davis study estimates it once produced more than 1 million fish annually. This has been replaced by unpredictability. Last year saw a good salmon run, but some years it is very small. Several causes are cited, but all agree the Eel River ecosystem has been degraded. Now a task force of volunteers has come together to pinpoint the reasons and work to restore the watershed. The Eel River Task Force consists of public agencies, Indian tribes, conservation organizations, and others committed to establishing a scientific baseline of the causes of the decline and what might be done to reverse it. The members agree, no finger-pointing. A plan of solutions must fulfill legal responsibilities to protect endangered species while also respecting private property rights. It will be a big job, but a healthy Eel River is worthwhile for all Humboldt County. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the betterment of our community.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Mark Lovelace. Mark, the naming of the airport, I can understand it. Everybody wants a little bit of the piece. The search engine thing, okay, fine and dandy. I would suggest it really doesn't matter, Hill Beans, until we get that second air carrier in here and we get the price of air transportation down below the gagging point. If we had it at $200 round trip from L.A. or San Francisco, we could name it Hades. And it wouldn't matter because then it becomes affordable and it's somewhere that people would want to go, period, end of story. So while I know it's a good intention, are we dancing around the 3,000-pound elephant in the middle of the airport?
Well, the only reason for doing the name change was not to honor someone or come up with a name just that we like or whatever, but to look at it in terms of, you know, can we help to increase tourism, increase the amount of folks coming here, and, you know, help for economic development purposes and for attracting air service. We've been in discussion with a number of air carriers for quite some time. We keep getting very, very close. There's about three right now that I know that we're having some very good talks with, but nothing's certain until
nobody
it's
stepped
done.
Across the line
yeah.
yet. Yeah.
And they're very excited about the idea of renaming the airport because in a small area like this, one of the things they look at is actually marketing their service, trying to get folks to fly, you know, not
kind of like
just
a tour bus operator.
Yeah, not only serve folks that are already planning to go there, but to make their destinations attractive. You know, when people find out that, oh, you know, they fly here, they fly to California's Redwood Coast, you know, and that's kind of the way you need to look at this is in terms of the marketing, that when you start talking about that you can fly to California's Redwood Coast, you can take a flight there, and that's more meaningful to a lot of folks than saying you can fly to Eureka or Arcata or McKinleyville.
So would you recommend then that Crescent City renames their airport the real California Redwood Coast Airport?
We can get in a competition about that. But so with the elongated version of the name, you know, again, the California Redwood Coast, I doubt anyone here is going to call it the California Redwood Coast Airport. But
it's just going to be called the airport.
The airport or the Humboldt County Airport. And so the second piece just establishes the location. And the reason that was important was because the Eureka Arcata Airport shows up on different monitors as either Arcata or Eureka, and even the same flight in the same airport can show up on different monitors, you know, whether it's the airline's monitor or the airport's overall system or whatever, can show up differently and make it look like there's two different destinations.
And Roanoke doesn't have commercial air, Murray Field doesn't.
Yeah. So it can be very confusing. And so by changing it to Humboldt, and that was the whole reason for changing, basically what we're saying is the name for marketing purposes will be California Redwood Coast. The common usage name would be Humboldt County Airport. So again, I'd encourage folks to not think of this as this, you know, six-word monster of a name, but think of it as two names. One, for marketing purposes only. And two, the one that we're all going to use, which is just to call it the Humboldt County Airport.
So you mentioned some of those other air carriers. Anything other than just the interested negotiation stage for any of the three? Is anybody seeming to have a little bit more interest?
Well, you'll have to excuse me if I talk in some generalities because the negotiating process is very, very interesting. They're all listening to what the others are doing, and so no one wants you to be broadcasting what they're looking at.
Share, but not too much.
Yeah. So what I can say is that what we've heard really clearly from folks and what the data has shown when we look at, you know, where folks do fly from Humboldt or have flown, or when they fly out of here to San Francisco, where do they go on from there? Far and away, the number one destination that we really, really need to land is LAX. And that's needed for a number of reasons. One, something like 47% of all flights that go to SFO continue on to LAX. People that fly to SFO, most of them are ultimately going to LAX or other points past there even.
Out of Humboldt County.
Yeah, when they fly from Humboldt County to SFO, half of those folks are ultimately continuing on to LAX. So a direct route to LAX would make a lot of sense.
Is there, well, you know, that's kind of like a proven trail.
Yeah.
Is there any study, and I don't know who would have it, of leakage of folks driving to the Bay Area where they're going? We picked up the kid coming in from Nebraska in Oakland Airport. Mm-hmm. They'll have the BART train probably there by the end of the year. United doesn't even fly out of Oakland. Mm-hmm. Well, okay. So those of Humboldt County that fly out of Oakland versus San Jose versus SFO or Portland mm-hmm. or Medford or Reading, mm-hmm. are they all tending to go in that same direction down to LA, or do they use these other airports as a leaping off point to the Midwest?
Well, in terms of leakage, when the service that Alaska Horizon had been providing down to LAX, when that when they pulled out, which was not due to a lack of profitability or anything there, they changed their business plan, and they just decided they were going to focus on different types of airports than the group we fell into. So it was not something. It was not because it was underutilized. It was a very successful route, and the data has generally shown that since that direct route to LAX went away, we haven't seen a significant uptake in folks flying to SFO. So what that shows is that a lot of folks have chosen to either drive down to SFO and then fly from there to LAX or find some other way. And so that suggests that all those folks that were flying to LAX are now pent-up demand. They're there. Those will be additional folks ready to come on board when we get that flight back, so they won't cut into our existing traffic to SFO.
KINS.
An unprecedented savings event is going on now at Burns Furniture. The Serta iComfort Triple Bonus. Bonus 1, save up to $400 on a Serta adjustable foundation. Bonus 2, receive a free iComfort 2-in-1 mattress protector up to a $159 retail value. And bonus 3, receive 2 free iComfort scrunch pillows when you buy a Sealy iComfort or iSeries mattress. Catch the Serta Triple Bonus before it goes away at Burns Furniture, 5th and G Streets, downtown Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Humboldt County Supervisor Mark Lovelace. Mark, with the airport discussions we had in the first half of the show, is there a linchpin, one significant thing that has to be done, or that these various airlines that seem to be vying, because I don't imagine we're going to get more than one, that will then make somebody go, okay, it's our turn?
We could, as I said, we're having discussions with a number of different airlines about a variety of destinations. LAX, as I've said, is the main one that we're really interested in. And we're also interested in trying to find a point north, such as either Portland or Seattle, and something that would perhaps be a larger hub for folks flying across the country or internationally, such as
the Denver, Salt Lake kind of thing.
Denver, Dallas, Fort Worth, Phoenix, something of that sort. And, you know, we're having some very good discussions with a variety of airlines about those. And each of the ones that we're having has something different that they're looking for in terms of how to make this happen. We've talked about the minimum revenue guarantee piece, and, you know,
that's already plugged in, isn't it?
Well, we have $750,000 from a federal grant that was matched by $250,000 in local money, both Headwaters and raised by the community. So we've got $1 million there that we can use for that. However, because of the certain aspects of the federal funding source, we can't use that for LAX. The one source that we have the most data to show it's going to be the most successful is the one the feds won't let us use it.
Why is that not surprising?
Well, the logic behind it is an MRG was used to start the LAX route 10 years
MRG.
ago.
MRG?
Yeah, well, from the same federal source. And so they look at it as, well, we don't want to throw good money after bad. You tried it and it didn't work, so we don't want to put more after it. But again, the service lasted for over 9 years, and it didn't go away because it didn't work. It went away because of the airline reorganizing.
That's the boggling thing for a lot of us, is this thing worked, things changed, outside circumstances changed, but if it was working, you'd think somebody would want to fall right in line behind and not even allow the momentum to slow down.
So we can't use the federal piece for that, but we still can use the money that was generated locally. So we could look at doing a smaller MRG for that. We have other routes that we could look at using the entirety of the MRG for.
And that's a matching revenue grant?
The minimum revenue guarantee. Basically, it just says that if they...
Yeah, one of them, right?
If the route isn't, doesn't meet its bottom line on a monthly basis, they would dip into that so that they're not losing money on it.
But the other one was profitable.
Yeah, it was. So it should work. And
so without the guarantee, airlines, I guess, are too confusing for me to follow.
Some airlines, again, stay in somewhat general. For the same destination, we may be talking to one airline that's saying they'll only do it with an MRG, and we may be talking to another that says, oh, we'll do it without an MRG, but they want something else instead.
Concession somewhere else.
Yeah. And we already have a lot of things that we've put in place in terms of fee waivers and things like this for a period of 1 year, but they have to be done equitably for any new service, and so we can't cut
Also, United would take would get the benefit of whatever the deal was also as an air carrier.
For any new service.
Oh, okay.
So there's a lot of different tools that we have for how to put these things together, and so one of them is that if we use the $250,000 local money as a small MRG to get service to LAX, then we can't use the $750,000 federal money until we've raised a new match for it. So,
do any of the airlines really care about serving us, or is Humboldt County a location? Like there are many other locations throughout the country, and they just look at it and it's a non-emotional decision. It's just black and white. It's pure logic, because it would seem like that would be the case for all of them if they're trying to do the positioning, knowing that there are two others that are vying for it also. Mm-hmm.
Well, there's been a long relationship building process with the airlines that our team has been talking with over the last year. And they've been doing a great job really recognizing that it's not just, you're not going to make this kind of thing happen just by waiting for someone to call or sending out a letter. You've got to go and meet people. You've got to make the sell. You've got to talk to them. You've got to work out deals. And that relationship building has been really important. However, being best friends with representatives from the airlines, or Humboldt County being a really neat place and all that stuff, isn't what's going to close the deal. It's going to have to make sense. But anything that helps in terms of encouraging them that our team is dynamic and we are going to push this thing and we're going to market this and we're going to make sure the route's effective, that's where that becomes helpful. Things like changing the airport name to say we're going to make it more marketable for tourism reasons, or even for being able to not just have it for folks getting out of here to go elsewhere, but for folks from out of the area choosing to fly here for vacations.
Is part of the discussion, I know we said we'd just have one question on this one, but one kind of went by the side a little while ago. Is there any discussion about the time of the flights so that it's not the same time as what we have now? So when you get the fog and some of these other things, because it would seem to me, well, I'm not a frequent flyer by anybody's definition, but when I do, kind of sound like I'm an old guy, with beer in my hand. But when I do, I like to get out on the early one, right? The 5:30 or whatever it is. Yeah, okay, you're giggling because you know what. Yeah, me too.
Because mine's earlier than that. That's why I'm giggling.
Or 5:15 or whatever the first flight is, because I'm going Midwest or the East Coast. I'm not going down the coast. But I would rather book and take a 10 o'clock flight and know that the silly thing was going to get out of here than to roll the dice on the early one. Mm-hmm. But United doesn't have too many flights that are during the daytime when we have weather like we have right now to get people in and out and not worry about the fog. Mm-hmm. Is that a consideration in the negotiations, that not everybody's leaving at the same time and not everybody's arriving at the same time?
It's a consideration, but that's something that really is entirely on the airline side. Every minute that a plane is sitting on the ground is a minute they're not making money off of it. And so their schedules are very, very tight. And they, when they dedicate a plane to a new service, a new route, they're going to try to utilize that. If there's open time, if it's just down and back once a day, it's like, well, then, while it's before it heads back to Arcata, it's going to go and do, these some other places and then come back. They're going to use that plane all through the day as best they can. And so it has to connect up with other routes. And it also has to connect up with, you know, if it's a feeder route, which so many of the ones out of Arcata
are. Yeah, it's linking to their system.
Yeah. So there's complexities to it that just go far beyond our ability to put any kind of limitations on them. But I know exactly what you're talking about. Anytime I have to fly down to Sacramento, I've got to be up at 3 to be at the airport by 4 for a 5 a.m. flight. And then coming back, flight gets in around, you know, 10 or 10:30, and I'm home by 11. So it's a 20-hour day.
Well, the Sacramento thing is cool, but if you're going to St. Louis,
yeah,
the East Coast, anywhere, you miss that flight, gets jacked up, you're in trouble because everything flies out of SFO at 8.
Yeah.
Okay, now we're talking about another day rather than making those allowances going in. You're saying, okay, fine, I'll be there. You know, I have to go out a day early, but I will get there. Rather than some of the other challenges, and I understand it's a little bit more complicated, but
yeah.
I was wondering if the negotiating teams had thrown that down, or if that was a consideration of even who the airlines were that they were talking to see if, you know, if they're flying out of Seattle or Portland, what are the connecting times to get to Chicago or to get to Salt Lake from there, and when we get into those fog periods, does that give us a safety valve? Apparently not. Okay, fine. KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:43. I rambled a little bit longer. We'll be back with more from Mark Lovelace.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions. 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass. 7 p.m. Spanish Mass, and on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:47. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Mark Lovelace. Mark, the consideration having a winning ball club, there really is something about community spirit. Yeah, you see that in San Francisco with the 49ers and the Giants. Oakland's got the A's and the Raiders, and the Warriors finally showed up. San Jose has got the Sharks. Humboldt has had success, certainly, in a bunch of areas, but I think when most folks think of athletics, if they're not of a school, the Crabs is where they're going to go to. They're in the middle of your district. What sense do you have? You know, as being somebody, you know, I grew up with them, so it's a little weird for me to comment too much on them. When you came to town, what did the Crabs mean for you?
Well, I went to a few Crabs games before I even moved here. When I'd come through Arcata and had some friends, and they say, "Hey, let's go to a Crabs game," and had no idea what I was getting into. And back then, that was when they still had they didn't serve food or beer there at the stadium, and so people would bring in their own and bring in coolers, and a lot of college students
have a day at the park,
a lot of drinking, and get a little out of hand. But the Crabs has, in recent years, since they formed a nonprofit for the organization, they have become such a great family-friendly environment there, and last Friday, they had their kickoff dinner for their 69th consecutive season. They're the longest continuously running minor league ball team in the United States. And they've got a phenomenal winning record over the last 69 years. They've won something like, 45 out of the 69 years.
It's
they've been champions
like
in their
carpet
district.
Carpetbagger almost.
Just
but the
ability to go to
good.
A game and have a pretty good, expect that you're going to see them win, to where when they don't, if you're there for one of the times they don't, it's kind of like, what went wrong?
Disappointment.
How did that happen?
Yeah.
So, but it's a lot of fun. And so Friday night was the opening dinner. This past weekend was their opening game. And they're also working this year on a fundraising effort to put in some new stands that'll expand the capacity, the seating capacity, provide better views for people, and make it an even better ballpark experience.
And I'm sure all that information is there at the ballpark.
On HumboldtCrabs.com, too, for the website.
That thing.
So
sure, fine.
So go out and see a Crabs game or 10.
Yeah. Thanks for coming by, Mark. Yeah, 10's a magic figure this year. Okay. We've been talking shop this afternoon with Mark Lovelace. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love and see you tomorrow.